We are in 1 Corinthians, so if you have a Bible and you would like to, you can certainly flip it open there. I feel as though at this point, I may have to just apologize and admit to you that we're not really getting through this faster than we got through Matthew, because I'm pretty sure when we started this, I told you we were going to get through like whole chapters a week, and it's not happening, so... Sorry, there's just too much in here, and most of you probably don't even remember I said that. But if any of you are getting angry, I'll just admit it now, so that each week you don't get more and more angry. But we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If you were here last week we saw Paul really begging with us, pleading with us, urging us to grow up, and not physically, not like, oh, you should get older, but spiritually, that we should be spiritually mature, that we would become strong and stop acting like spiritual little children, but instead embrace the life of spiritual maturity that God has for you. And this week, we're going to see that as we continually grow up in the Lord, we learn more about Him, we seek Him more, there's going to be a right way to build our life and a wrong way to build our life. Okay, there's going to be a way to build our life that aligns with the Word of God, okay, where we actually read the Bible and we let the Bible direct us, we let the Bible instruct us. There's a way to build our life that fits in with the reality that when you become a Christian, you're actually supposed to be a new creation, as we learn in 2 Corinthians. If you really have put your faith in Him, you're a new person. Or you can build your life your own way. You can build your own way. And I don't know how much experience you all have with actual construction. I know at least two of you here have significant experience, but when you build something, you can either do it right or wrong, right? If you're going to build a building, you can do it in a way that's going to be strong with materials that are going to last so that it's going to still be standing. And when the typhoons and the storms that this country has comes and it endures, it's going to actually accomplish the purpose that it was built for. Right? When you see businesses, they're built with a purpose, and you need to keep that purpose in mind. So you build a building in a way that will last, that will be strong, that will accomplish the purpose it was built for. But the reality is when you do that, it's going to be costly, it's going to be difficult, there's going to be a lot of work. The materials that last, that endure through all of the difficulties, are not as cheap as the ones that are not so great. So the work needs to be done is far greater. And maybe you've seen buildings here where people didn't care so much if they would last. They were more concerned with doing it cheaply. Okay, and then it's poor quality and it's weak. You compromise, use cheaper materials, you do half of the work, and the building is going to be significantly weaker. Significantly weaker. And what we are going to see, and if you take a look around at Christians all throughout the world, Christians seem to be content to build their life in a way that is less than what God has for them, in a way that's weaker than what God actually intends for them. So let's get into our passage and see what God has for us tonight. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I know it says verse 9, and that's because we covered verse 8 last week, but I'm going to reread for us verse 8 because it really helps us to understand the next verses. Verse 8 says, "Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building." So the first thing that we see as we go through this passage, and I won't spend too much time on this because we talked about it last week when we were discussing growing up, but Paul here says that as mature Christians, we are to labor. We are to labor, right? Verse 8, labor. Verse 9, workers. Okay, labor and workers. Well, that's too bad. I thought it was just vacation. Like, how many of you like vacation more than you like work? I do. But I guess I seriously believe that if I was on vacation all the time, I wouldn't like it so much. There'd be something that didn't satisfy. It would leave me wanting more. Okay, and the same is true in Christianity. And if you remember last week, I brought up how when you're a child, you don't work. Right? When you're young, sure, you might have some chores, maybe you should pick up your toys, but you're really not meant to be a worker. But as you grow up, you become a worker. So a child is served, right? Children need to be served. But then as you grow up, you start doing the service. So no longer selfishly looking out for yourself, no longer just looking out for your own desires, your own plans, but actually looking to make a difference in the world around you. Actually accomplishing the purposes that God intended for you. And when you put your faith in Jesus, the Bible says in John 3 that you become born again. You are saved by the grace of God, and you become not just a part of his creation, right? All people are part of the creation of God, but you become part of his family, which is pretty crazy that God lets you into his family. And the reality is, what should happen and what does happen then, if the faith is genuine and real, is you are so thankful for that salvation. You are so grateful for the presence of God in your life. You are so excited to know him that you are compelled to seek and serve him. Okay, you're compelled. That means you have to do it. You can't not. It's what you desire. You have to do it because you love God. So you desire to be a worker for him. And I really wish that we could fully understand the honor of this, the privilege that it is to be a worker for God. Imagine that the president, and I know right now some people don't like presidents that we have in all of our countries. But imagine that whoever it is that you respect the most as a leader walks in and they say, hey, I need help. I've got something for you to do. We would jump up in excitement, like, yeah, whatever you need. I'll drop this. Whatever you need, I'll be there for you. Right? We jump up in attention. Yes, sir, what do you need? But then God of the universe comes and says, hey, I got work you can do. I got work that you can be a part of. And we're like, well, maybe later. Like, that's great, God. I appreciate it. I want to help a little, like if it works with my schedule. But I don't know. I don't know if I really have time. I've got TV to watch. I've got videos to scroll. Whatever it is, we're so easily distracted. It's like, no, God. Like, do you understand who God is? He created the whole world. He just spoke and the world showed up. Jesus, who, if you remember, died for you brutally. And he's like, hey, I got work we can do together. I'm like, eh, no thanks. Let someone else do it. No, we're supposed to be laborers. Laborers. Okay, it shouldn't be that way. God let us be a part of what he is doing. We should jump up. There should be urgency. There should be excitement. There should be nothing that can interfere. But instead of doing the work of God, a lot of people are content to just be the work of God. Okay, and what I mean by that is there's a lot of people that instead of doing the work, or instead of being part of a project, really are the work and are a project. Okay, and I'm not saying that's bad. I know I'm work for God. I know I'm work for the people around me. I know it. Like, I'm immature at times. People, they got to teach me. They got to correct me. I'm with you there. But I also want to be a worker. If I'm going to be work, if I'm going to be a bit of a weight, I want to be a worker. I want to be part of this. So I hope that you will make that shift where you don't just want to be worked on, but you want to help. Because that's where real satisfaction is found. Okay, that's where real satisfaction is found. Look back in verse 8. There's really little reward, very little reward, very little blessing, very little enjoyment out of Christianity until we get busy about serving him. Okay, until we get busy about serving him. And when we see that this work, we're not just talking about general work. Some people might think, oh yeah, I'm a good moral person. I'm doing this stuff. So that's the work we're talking about. No, in Ephesians 2, we find that this is specific work that God has uniquely designed for you personally to do. God's got something that you're supposed to do. Okay? Noel, Liza, by name. I just went opposite sides of the room, so the rest of you are included as well. He's got something for you to do, specifically. And again, this is crazy, because guess what? God could go find someone else to do it. And if we're honest, someone else could probably do it better. Someone else could probably click through those songs and it'd be perfect. But he lets us be a part of this. It's an incredible thing. Incredible thing. But notice, you're not just a worker, but you're a fellow worker. A fellow worker. And there's two things with this. Number one is that God's working with you. Like, it's one thing to go and have a job. I don't know where the president lives in the Philippines. I was going to say the White House, but we're in the Philippines. Where does the president live? What's it called? I can't pronounce that. We'll stick with America. There's one thing to have a job. Later, you guys teach me so I can have the right illustration for the next sermon. But it's one thing to have a job at the White House, but it's not like the president is coming and working alongside you. No, you're serving him. You're doing what he wants. But here, Paul says, no, it's not like that. You're a fellow worker with God. God is in you. He's with you. He does this work alongside of us. He empowers us to actually do the work. And what's really cool is I find that the greatest relationships I have are the people I've worked alongside. Okay, the people I have served with. Those are the people I'm closest with. There's something about sweat and blood and tears that unite us. Those are the relationships worth having. And God says, yeah, I want that. So we know, as Christians, we know that God desires to have a relationship with us. He wants us to know him. He wants to know us. We're supposed to be close to him. And one kind of part of that relationship, there's lots of parts. God is our Father. He's our Lord. He's our friend. But part of that is co-worker. Okay, one part of the relationship with God that we have is co-worker, which is pretty crazy to me. Do you know God like that? Like someone you are serving with. But then, besides serving with God, Paul says, we are fellow co-workers. We fellow workers. Us together. And I say that because a lot of people don't like that. They want to do it alone. Okay, they want to do it alone. And you're going to find that that's going to be real hard. So who are you teamed up with? And you might be quick to say, oh, we're at church together. We're all teamed up together. Well, some of us, sure. And some of you I just met like 20 minutes ago. So who's on your team? Who are you serving God with? And do they know you? Do you know them? Are you investing your time and life, getting deeper and deeper into relationships with them? Do they actually know that you would consider yourself part of the team? Because I've been doing this long enough. I've had people that I didn't know their name because I never spent time with them because they never came around. And then I would hear someone ask them like, oh, are you part of a church? And they would say, oh yeah, I'm part of Believer's Church. And I would look at them and it's like, I think you came like 6 months ago. Yeah, I remember you were there once and you're saying you're part of our church. We don't know you. So do the people that you think you're on a team with, do they know that you're on the same team? Right? We're supposed to work together. We do this together. And the Bible makes that clear over and over and over. It's going to be very hard to do the work of God apart from a commitment to the people of God. Very hard to do the work of God apart from a commitment to the people of God. Now, it's dangerous to say that. It's dangerous to say that. You know why? Because there's a balance here. There's a lot of people that they think I'm good with God because I have a church. That's not what I said. I didn't say you become good with God because you go to church. I didn't say that you're a Christian based on the people you spend your time with. But I am saying if you are a Christian, if you have personally put your faith in Jesus, you need to find the people that God's called you to. Okay, and I have no clue where that is. Some of you, I would say you think it's here, and I would agree with you. Some of you, you need to figure it out. Whether if it's here, great. If it's somewhere else, okay. But go and find it. My life changed not just when I was introduced to Jesus. Okay, my life changed dramatically when I came to know Christ. And it changed again pretty significantly when I found my place and the people that God had for me. Fellow workers together. And you could support this with lots of Bible verses, but perhaps one of the most clear would be in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, that tells us not to forsake the gathering together. Okay, don't forsake gathering together. And it goes on, it says, as is the habit, what is normal, what's normal routine for so many. And a lot of times when that verse is quoted, we stop there. Don't forsake getting together. And it's like, okay, fine, I'll go to church. But there's more to it. That verse continues on and says, why? But instead, encouraging one another. Encouraging one another. Doing the work, serving one another. Okay, so we are to be God's fellow workers, working with him, working for him, working with each other. And I'll tell you, if you think Christianity is boring, if you think, well, church is so boring and I don't know what this is all about, it's because you haven't figured this out yet. And I hope you figure it out. This is fun. Terrible. Miserable at times. Really hard. Terrifying. There was a guy here. I won't say any names. But we did some outreaches this week. Some of you may have talked to this guy, actually. And he was inviting students to be part of a Bible study. And I think he was terrified. But I did see a couple smiles along the way. Okay, this is scary stuff. When you actually find your place, find what God has you to do, terrifying. At times I want to run away. At times I still want to run away. And yet there's no greater fulfillment. So easy life, no. The worthwhile life, yes. Satisfying, yes. Moving on, verse 10. So we are to be fellow workers, we are God's field, and then we are his building. Okay, so remember that kind of imagery of the building. Verse 10, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Okay, so Paul has work to do. He's a worker, a fellow worker with God. So God has work for Paul to do. You know what's really crazy? Is once you look into who Paul is, it's like, God, why would you pick him? Okay, you guys know what Paul was doing before he was planting churches like this church in Corinth? Killing Christians. He would wake up and think, I wonder how I can prevent the cause of Christ moving forward. Okay, how many can I get in prison today? How many can I round up and throw in jail so that they don't tell anyone else about Jesus? And how many can we kill? How many can we execute? That was his goal. Hated the church. Hated Christianity. And God's up in heaven and he's thinking, I've got some work to do. And he looks down and he picks Paul, Saul at the time. That doesn't really make sense to me. Like, wouldn't you find someone more holy, more righteous, more useful? Not someone who's getting in the way, but someone who's already kind of serving and doing some stuff. Someone more impressive, maybe. But no, he looks down and sees a guy that's an absolute mess. Someone who's interfering with the plan of Christ. And he says, you know what? I could use that guy. And I say that because, I don't know about you, but sometimes it's like, God, you want me to be a worker? I'm going to make a mess of things. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I get confused. I can't say the right words. I'm terrified of people. You're just going to be the example from now on. It's like, why would God let me do this? Why? Why would he possibly pick someone like Paul? Why would he take us? Okay, if he could do this for Paul, he could do it for you. If God can change Paul, use Paul, He can do it for you, which is good news. This is great news for us. This is a reason to celebrate. But also, this takes away any excuse you might have right now. Like right now, you might think, yeah, but I'm weak. Yeah, but I can't possibly do this. This kind of takes away the excuse. Because if God could so change Paul, he can so change you. Verse 10, according to the grace of God. So why was Paul able to do this? Because the grace of God was poured into his life. Okay? You do this because of the grace of God. So can you do this work? No, you can't. But the grace of God can so change you and make you into a person that can actually do this work. Okay, the grace of God can and will do the same in you if you will allow it. But then we have a bit of a warning. Wait a minute, not so fast. Paul says, if you're going to do this, if you're going to be a worker by the grace of God, you need to be careful how you build. Okay, don't just jump up and get to work and make a mess of things. Take heed. Do it carefully. Okay, we got some people here going to school to be engineers. We got an architect here. You know what is terrible? When no one makes any plans. Imagine there's no plans and like 20 people come together and they work on a project. That's a disaster. We used to do church work days back in America, and I was in charge of kind of scheduling, okay, you're working on this, and we're building this, we're putting shelves up here, and we're doing all of this. And the first time I did it, I didn't have much of a plan. I didn't take heed and know what I was doing. I just jumped into work, and guess what? I wrecked some stuff. And I then got to enjoy some pretty strict correction from my leaders because I didn't take heed. And you can see this in buildings. Once in a while, you'll look at a building, and it's like, did they know what they were doing? Like, did they have a vision for what it was supposed to be before they started? Or did they just, you know, grab some wood, grab some nails, grab some concrete, some rebar sticking out everywhere? It's like, what's this about? No, take heed. Do it right. Do it carefully. Do it how it's supposed to be done. He says you need to do it right. And just so you know, we need to understand this, that there's a lot of people claiming to do the work of God, claiming to serve God, who aren't listening to this verse. They're not taking heed. They're not doing it right. Okay, you could go to a lot of things, and I say things because I won't call them churches. You go to a lot of things today that have a sign on the front that call themselves a church that I don't think God would recognize as a church because it's not being done according to the word of God. Okay. There's a lot of people claiming to do the work of God who are not being careful, and they would have been better off doing nothing. You can go to Christian bookstores, and you can find lots of Christian books that should never have been written. Okay, they should never have been written because they don't align with the word of God. They're not taking heed. Just make an eye contact. I'm not blaming you this time. You looked scared there. You can go to a lot of churches where you'll hear sermons that they're saying stuff that are completely opposite of what the Bible says. So there's a lot of people claiming to do the work of God, and they're simply not. Not every Christian book is truth. Not every sermon preached comes from the Bible. Not every good deed that is done out of obedience and submission to the leading of God. The Bible tells us in Psalm 127 that if this is you, your work is a waste of time. Psalm 127 is where we see, if it's not God who builds the house, the workers build in vain. I don't want to build a ministry. I don't want to serve the Lord and do all this. And some of you are busy. I mean, some of you, you're busy about the work of God. And I know that, both through us and personally. You're busy. You're trying to serve God. You're trying to make your life count. I don't want to get to the end and figure out, well, that didn't count for anything. It was all in vain. No, I want to be aligned with God's desires and God's lead and God's word. Okay, God's word. Again, you ever look at a building and you think, like, what was the architect thinking? What were they thinking when they designed this? Like, he must have had a bad night out drinking as he was designing the plans. Like, was he drunk when he drew that? The same is seen in Christian work when God's not directing the activity. And specifically here in this verse, what are we supposed to be careful of? The foundation that we are building on. The foundation that we are building. Okay, that all of the work in the building of our life and our service and our activity and ministry is built on the right foundation. Before I was a pastor, I actually built houses. And foundations are very important. Because if you have a bad foundation, I don't care how impressive of a building you make, it's not going to last. Okay, in Wisconsin, we get frost, so you have to put foundations way low into the ground, because otherwise when it's freezing, it pushes the foundation up and buildings fall over. Philippines, you guys have earthquakes here, there's typhoons. Foundations matter. You can't try to save money on a cheap foundation because you want to have an impressive building up above ground. So you can build an impressive house with the best of materials you can find, but if you build it without a foundation or a weak foundation, it won't matter. It won't last. Now, foundations are below the surface. Like, no one wants to spend money or focus on it because no one sees it. It's not going to impress anyone. No one cares. Like, if any of you ever been at someone's house, you're like, you have just such a nice foundation. No, that'd be weird. Now, in Christianity, sometimes you want to skip past the foundation, and get to other stuff, but we can't. So what is this foundation? Okay, what is this foundation? Well, Paul already gave us the answer. We see it here. It is none other than Jesus. So we aren't to build on shaky things that will not last, but on the one thing, if you want to call Jesus a thing, the one person who will endure through all of life's troubles. And how often do we instead base our life? We build our life around something else. We build our life around the job we have. And I'm not saying you shouldn't have a job. I'm saying that should not be what you build your life on. We build our life on our families. I'm not saying you shouldn't have a family. Your family might be a blessing from God, but it can't be what you build your life around. It can't be what you build your life on. Sometimes we build our life on money and career and success. Sometimes we just build it on fun. Like, I just want to have a good time. I'm going to base my whole life on what sounds the most fun, most comfortable. I warn you, it's not going to work well, and it will fail to satisfy. And what I remember when I was growing up in the church is I would hear a pastor say that, and it's like, he doesn't really get it because sin's pretty fun. He's like, it fails to satisfy because I went out and I had fun and it satisfied me. Well, yeah, the Bible tells us that sin is sweet. And if you know the rest of the Bible verse, it says for a season. Proverbs chapter 14, it says there's a way that seems right to us. So it seems like a good idea, but in the end, it leads to death. So yeah, it kind of seems fun, but it's not going to ultimately satisfy. It will not. But Jesus will. Okay, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. I don't want us to die. I don't want our life to topple over when the storms come. I want us to build our life on the one strong foundation. And you might think, oh, I'm not building my life on all those worldly kind of things. You know what we do and pretend we're building our life on Jesus is we build our life on some kind of religious system. It's like, well, I'm right with God because I was baptized. I'm right with God because I took communion. I'm right with God because I attended church. So you're not chasing the worldly stuff, but you're building your life on a religion. You can't build your life on Christianity. You build your life on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. You put your trust in Jesus. You put your faith in the work that he did. That's what saves you. Jesus alone. Jesus tells us that no one gets to heaven except through him. He tells us that he is the door. He says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. So it's not being a good person. It's not any of those other religious things. It's not your family's tradition. It's a personal and real faith in Jesus. You put your trust in him. Okay, God wants to know you. And if you don't know him, you are building your life on something that I promise is eventually going to fail. Jesus never will. Jesus never will. We continue on. So Jesus never will fail. Everything else is temporary. Jesus is eternal. In verse 12, we see, "Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire." So once you build your foundation in Jesus, meaning once you actually become a Christian, you are born again, you put your faith in Christ, you're a new creation. That's a great start, but now it's time to build on that. It's time to build on that. Imagine if you went down to like SMC side and the foundation was there. Okay. I don't know how much concrete that is, but that's a lot of concrete. That's a lot of rebar. That's a lot of work. Imagine if the foundation was there, but they never bothered to put anything on it. Like, what a waste of money. What a waste of time. What a waste of what was given to them. And a lot of people are like that in Christianity. They're like, I'm saved, and they're content with that. They put their faith in Jesus, they lay their foundation, and they fail to go any further. They're not doing anything for whatever reason it is. Maybe it's laziness, maybe it's fear, maybe it's apathy. They just don't care. They don't do anything with their Christianity. They never build on the foundation. They never become a worker. They never start building. And really, when we're talking about building on that foundation, we're talking about your service or your work to God, what the Bible might call your ministry. And you might be thinking, oh, wait a minute, like, that's not me. I'm not a pastor. I'm not one of those servants of God. I'm a Christian. Well, that's not how it works. You might be thinking, well, I'm not like a saint or anything. No, the Bible says if you're a Christian, you're a saint. And it goes beyond that. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, if you're a Christian, you're even a priest. Okay, priest isn't just some special designation for the super holy. It's for you if you put your faith in Jesus. If you're saved. If you're one of God's children. It's for you. You're to serve him. You're to work with him. God's got stuff for us to do. So again, this isn't just for the super Christian. This is for all of us. And you might be left thinking, well, what does that actually look like? Like, what does it actually look for me to start? Maybe you have no clue. You're like, I put my faith in Jesus. I fully trust in Christ. God has changed me. I have the Spirit of God in me now, but I don't know what to do next. Okay, that's why groups like this exist. Okay, we'd be glad to help you. We'd be glad to teach you. Keep coming. We'll keep teaching the Bible. This is going to sound really unexciting, but keep coming. Eventually, we might even let you sweep the floor. That's pretty exciting. And you say eventually, like, we'll make you wait for a while. Yeah, we probably will. That's how I got here. Warning for some of you who are sweeping the floor. That's how I became a pastor. I swept the floor. I cleaned the CR. Eventually, they had me make the cookies, which was a big mistake. So you start small, and then you just obey God. I don't know where it's going to take you. No clue where it's going to take you. I had no plans to be here. I'm not saying you're called to be a pastor. I don't know what God has for you. I'm saying start small, be obedient to Christ, and see where he leads you, and let him lead. Don't fight against it. Don't build your life on something else and get in the way. No, actually build what it is God has planned. Like, he'll give you the plan, and you might think, I got an idea. Like, we could add this over here. Or I'm going to take this away. You're going to ruin the building that God's making. His building's way better. Way better. Okay, start small. Be faithful in the small things, and then God will give you much. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll get there another year, probably, honestly, probably a year. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 tells us, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm." So stand firm, because you have a strong foundation. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And just so you know, some of you, I know, are busy. Some of you are serving God. Some of you have been serving God for years. And you think, I don't know if this is worth it. It kind of seems to be in vain. Well, it's not. Whether it seems like it or not, I can't say. But I can tell you that the Bible is true. Your labor is not in vain. It is worth doing. Galatians tells us to not grow weary in doing good, because in due time, meaning it might take a while, you will reap a harvest. You will. Even when it doesn't feel like it. Okay, here we are. Here we are. Small church. Small group trying to start a church. And sometimes it's like, God, is this really working? Well, let's keep laboring. Let's keep working. Because there's going to be a day, and that's what we see in this verse, in these verses here, 12 to 15. There's going to be a day, and it's a capital D, if you see in your Bible. Capital D day, because it's a specific day. It's a day of judgment. It's a day of inspection, where the work that we've done, the service we've offered to God, the life that we have built is going to be judged. It's going to be looked at. We will give an account for how we lived. And we'll see, is what we did going to last? Did it actually count for anything? Or is it just going to be burnt up like it doesn't even matter? Okay, our service to God, our work for Him will be tested. There's a day where we will answer for how we live, what we did, how we used the life God gave you. So that makes this kind of serious, right? I want my life to pass His inspection. I don't want to get to heaven and God's like, well, everything you did was pointless. Like, I had this stuff for you to do and you didn't do it. Or I had this stuff for you to do and you did it, but you did it with the wrong heart for the wrong reasons at the wrong time. No, I want to do what God has for me to do. I want to do it motivated out of love for Him, out of obedience to Him, not out of a desire to please the people around me, not out of a desire to be, you know, thought of well or applauded, but because it's what God desires, because it's what God wants for me. So God's going to test the building, the work that we've done of these fellow workers, and at that point, each one's work will become clear, and we see some build with precious things like gold, silver, precious stones, and as you read the list, it starts at the best and then works its way down, gold, silver, precious stones, and some build with things that are not so precious and also not so enduring, like wood, hay, and straw. And what we gather when we read this is Paul is saying that there's a way to build your life. There's a way to build your life where it's going to look like you built something. It's going to look like you accomplished something. You're busy. It's work to build with hay. It takes some work. You're busy. You're doing stuff. But it's not really worthwhile. Okay, it's not really worthwhile. It's not significant. It's not really going to matter. We might look like we're significant by our own thinking, but when it goes through this judgment on that day, we will find out. And what we see here is that we need to be thinking quality, not quantity. Quality, not quantity. Because if you get a whole bunch of wood and a whole bunch of straw, that just burns faster and hotter. It still burns up. No amount of wood that you collect will make it be like, oh, now the wood's going to last. So we're talking about quality, not quality, not quantity. Quality is if it's good or not. Quantity is just how much you have. So think quality. Think eternity. So it's not the quantity that's being tested, but the quality. Lots of wood, lots of hay, lots of straw still burns. And I'm thankful that we're talking that way because, again, we're just a small little group here starting a church. And if you want to judge this ministry by numbers, you'd probably think, well, it's really not that impressive. Well, first of all, I'm not trying to be impressive, which is good because I couldn't even if I wanted to be. But I want what we do to matter. I want us to actually teach the Bible, not teach our own thoughts and our own opinions. When we worship, I want us to actually have thankfulness, gratitude, right hearts to God, not just, well, I sing and I sing really good. In America, there's worship teams that have really impressive worship leaders way better guitar players, way better drummers. They've got hired sound people. And guess what? Churches will hire them even if they're not Christians because they want it to sound good. We'll never do that. Okay, we'll find some bad YouTube video of a guy trying to sing before we'll have someone up here that doesn't actually worship the Lord. Because we want to do it right. Right? We want to build on Jesus's foundation, not on something else. Back in verse 8, we see that we are rewarded for our labor, not for our success. And I say that again because I know some of you. I know some of you work hard for God, and you're like, I don't know if it's working. Well, first of all, I'll tell you, it is. It is. Okay, there are some things that look really good. You can go around not very far from this church, just kind of a short drive away, and you can find some really impressive buildings. Really impressive buildings. And you can find a lot of people who are busy. They're doing stuff. Okay, they're busy doing the work. They're going and they're talking to people. They're setting up little stands and handing out flyers and distributing information. But in the end, it's going to count for nothing because Jesus is not the foundation. Okay, all the work they're doing is wrongly motivated because the truth that they're teaching isn't even truth at all. It's lies. Okay, they don't base their ministry and their service to God on the word of God. They do what seems right to them. They do what is a good idea to them rather than the commands given by God. And some would say, some that I'm speaking of would say, oh no, we are building on Jesus. But the problem is it's not Jesus as described in the Bible, it's Jesus as they have created him. Okay, and I'm going to use an example here of a specific group, and I'm not trying to insult anyone here if you've ever been a part of it, but I want this to be real and clear to us. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has the name Jesus Christ in it and the name church. And the Jesus that they talk about is not the Jesus from the Bible. Okay, that Jesus that they teach was created, not eternal. Jesus is eternal. Jesus wasn't created. Okay, and we could get into all kinds of their wrong thinking. That's not the point of tonight, but I'm saying just because they call themselves a church of Jesus Christ doesn't mean that Jesus Christ is the foundation, because they made up their own Jesus Christ, and that's not going to work. I used to do concrete work, and concrete can be really strong if the right stuff is in it. Okay, but if you start just deciding, like, I'm going to add, like, 50% more water and 50% more sand, and we'll just not use much cement, okay, that foundation isn't a foundation anymore because it's been messed with. Okay, when people start messing with the truth of Jesus, it's not Jesus anymore. And if you put your faith in someone to save you, you put your faith in someone who saves you who doesn't exist, because you so distorted who he is, that's not going to work. Like when I sit in a chair, I trust the chair is going to hold me. If I sit in a chair that doesn't exist, I'm going to fall on the floor. And there's a lot of people who have created a Jesus in their minds, in their thinking, that doesn't exist. And that Jesus will do no good for anyone. Okay, so you need to know what the Bible says about who Jesus is. Okay, and not just because I said it. Okay, I am not intending to lie to you. I intend to teach the Bible, but you cannot just trust it because I said it. You need to know Jesus yourself. God's going to look at our foundation. He's going to look at our motives. So he's going to look at what's on the inside. Do you know that God's way more concerned with what's on the inside, not the outside? Jesus, speaking to the Pharisees, calling them hypocrites, he says, you whitewash your tombs. Like, you paint the outside of the tomb so it looks good. Like, you go to the cemetery, you paint everything up, it looks great. He says, but on the inside, it's just death. So I don't care how good the outside looks, because inside is death. And that's how this judgment is going to work. It might look good on the outside, but it's got to be legitimate. It's got to be real. God cares about your heart. He cares about your motive, why you're doing what you do. For example, Again, we did a lot of outreaches this week. A lot of you helped. And you might think, did I go out there and invite people to church because I actually wanted to obey Matthew 28, because I actually love Jesus and I want to serve him? Or did you do it because Jesse asked you to? If you did it because I asked you to, sorry, it was a waste of time. It's going to burn up in the end. Okay. The Bible says to submit to your leaders. I'm not saying you shouldn't, that you can't serve and do things once in a while because I ask you to. But I am saying that if ultimately you're doing your service to God because of a person, it counts for nothing. Absolutely nothing. Maybe you just felt guilty. Someone forced you to do it. Do you serve here even? Do you clean up after events? Fill in when needed because God directed you to? Because you're thankful for who Christ is, what he did, because Jesus died for you and you love him, so you want to be a part of his work, or you do it so people will notice you. And one way to know if this is you is, do you actually serve God when no one's watching? Do you care about your holiness if no one's watching? Do you read your Bible even if no one knows you read your Bible? Or do you read your Bible so you can tell people you read your Bible? We do a lot of missions trips and we have big teams, and sometimes it's like people get up early and they're reading their Bible. It's like, you know, I bet they might read their Bible, but do I really believe that they always wake up like 2 hours early to sit in the corner and read their Bible? I'm not convinced. I think they're doing it because people are watching. I don't know why I'd bother. I say this a bit hypocritically because there was once a time I was pretty new to the church and there was this really disgusting mess right in front of the church, and our church in America is in a kind of a rough neighborhood, a lot of drugs. And this was, I won't explain the mess more than that because it's disgusting. And I very briefly considered, if I leave this mess here for the next 10 minutes, I can clean it up 10 minutes from now. And I still cleaned up the mess. And my pastor's going to see me do it too, like a double bonus. And I considered it. And I'm glad that I chose not to. Although I probably just lost any rewards in heaven by telling you the story. But that can be why we do things. And don't let it be. Do it because you love Jesus. Jesus is worth it on his own. If no one else knows, no one else cares, no one else is around, Jesus on his own is worth it. If you don't think he is, you don't know him. If you don't think he is, you have not built a foundation of faith in Christ. One other way to build with flammable materials that are just going to burn up is trying to do the work on your own. Okay, and it's so easy. It's so easy to think, I'm just going to do this on my own. Apart from the empowerment of God, apart from the leading of God, apart from the Spirit of God, depending on your own strength, your own ability, and your own self. And you know that Jesus tells us that apart from him, we can do nothing. And you can look up that word if you want to look it up in the Greek and you find a really interesting thing. You know what the word nothing means in Greek? It means nothing. You can do nothing. Not you can do a little bit. You're kind of impressive. No, you're totally useless to God without him. Without God, you're totally useless to him. Okay? Be near God. Work with God. Follow his lead. Depend on his Spirit inside of you to empower you and guide you. And if you fail to understand this, you're going to stay busy doing all kinds of stuff, and it's going to count for nothing. What a waste. Ministry is hard. Okay, doing the work of God as we started is hard. It's a challenge, and there's going to be days you want to give up. Imagine going through all of that difficulty, and then at the end you figure out you did all that hard stuff for nothing. It's like you worked all day long, and you don't get a paycheck. No, let's do this and make it count. Life is far too valuable, far too precious to just throw it away. That's why we need to be careful. Okay, build your life on Jesus and nothing else. Base every decision you make on Christ, every direction you take on him. When the foundation is laid, don't stop there. Keep going, but do it carefully. Do it with care. Okay, if you have Jesus, you've got the best foundation in the world. Don't build some cheap, temporary, ugly building on it. You know, I said, imagine SM. imagine SM, they build this foundation and it's huge and it's impressive and they don't put anything on it. That would be a waste. You know what else would be really stupid? Is if SM put that foundation there, you know, it's probably, I don't know, several meters underground, lots of money, lots of material. Imagine they did that and then they're like, oh, now we can build a one-story little bamboo shack. Like, what a shame. No, keep building, but do it with care. Do it with stuff that matters. Doesn't need to be impressive. Doesn't need to be big. You don't need to show it off to anyone. Now, if you try, you'll find that it doesn't count for anything. But it needs to be right. It needs to be right. It needs to be based on Christ. Live this life that God's given you, this one life that God's given you, in a way that makes it count. Live like you mean it. Okay, let's get to work as fellow workers for Christ, with Christ, and see what we can build. Okay, and if you think you're a fellow worker with this church, let's see what we can get done together. And not just together, but you individually go out tomorrow, serve God. I'll do the same. Come back here, tell us stories of how it went. We'll train each other up. We'll challenge each other. We'll go back and do it again, and we'll see what we could build. I don't know what it's going to be. You know, I don't know what God's building here. But I wonder if we all gave it our all, we worked with Christ, depended on Christ, did it carefully according to his word, not according to our own desires, what would it look like? What could we do? I don't know. But I'd be glad to be a part of it. Be glad to be a part of it. Okay, I'm going to end here with a line from a poem, which is not because I'm some huge poetry fan. I know you guys are looking at me, you're like, you are. You probably write a lot of poems. But no, I'm not a big poetry guy. But this is good. And things that rhyme do stick in your head. So if tomorrow you've forgotten every single thing that I say, hopefully at least this will be stuck in there and you won't be able to get it out. This is from a much longer poem. It's just one short line from a guy named C.T. Studd. I quote him quite a bit. He was a missionary to China, a missionary to India, and a missionary to Africa. He was a millionaire, incredibly wealthy, professional athlete, could have gone, and I mean, it's cricket, and no offense to the cricket people back there, but I don't know if cricket's really a sport. Okay, incredible athlete. He had everything. Everything. Gave it all up. Nearly died multiple times serving the Lord. And nearing the end of his life, he wrote this poem with this line. He said, only one life, and it will soon be passed. Okay, only one life, and it will soon be passed. And he goes on and says, only what is done for Christ will last. Okay, you can do all kinds of fun stuff. You can do cool things. You can go get a job. You can have a great job. You can have a fun family, good relationships. But if it's not based on Christ, if you're not doing those things on the foundation of Jesus, it will not last, not for eternity. Only what will last for eternity is what's done for Christ. One more time, only one life, and it will soon be passed. Only what is done for Christ will last.